Have you heard about the new MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle? The MagnaGrip Pro Nozzle is the easiest, most advanced nozzle ever, protecting you from the dangers of diesel exhaust fumes. With its patented flex magnet technology, the Pro Nozzle easily attaches with one hand from a standing position, can snap on from any angle, and fits flush to the apparatus, saving a ton of space. And MagnaGrip is the only exhaust removal system that offers a true 100% seal. For free grant assistance and to learn more, go to MagnaGrip.com.
This fire engineering podcast is made possible by Tenkata Protective Fabrics. The global leader in flame-resistant fabrics, Tenkata Protective Fabrics enables millions of people worldwide to be great at what they do. Generations of industry professionals serving in the fire service, industrial, and military industries rely on Tenkata fabrics for safety, comfort, and confidence. From the harshest working conditions to the welcoming site of home, Tenkata recognizes the people they're protecting are unique individuals whose lives extend beyond work. Supporting a world of evolving needs, Tenkata's innovations lead the way in user-centric design, technology, and sustainability around the globe. To learn more, please visit TenkataFabrics.com.
Well, good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from, and welcome and thank you for listening to this episode of the Perspectives on Leadership podcast, brought to you by Fire Engineering. My name is Steve Shaw, and I'm your host. I'm very proud to be an assistant chief with Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue, and I'm honored to be part of the Fire Engineering family as an author, as a presenter at FDIC, and as a contributor to the Fire Engineering Hump Day Hangouts. As much as I consider myself to be a student of the fire service, I find myself more being a student of leadership these days, especially more than ever. First off, I'm recording this podcast in early October of 2022, over a full week after Hurricane Ian carved its path of destruction through Florida and then up into the Carolinas. So I want to make sure, first of all, I say our thoughts and our prayers are with those who in so many cases lost everything. And I do mean everything. At the same time, our appreciation and gratitude is with those who are doing what they can in whatever that looks like to assist, support, bolster all the rescue and recovery efforts that are taking place right now. I'll continue to keep these men and women in my prayers, and I ask that you all continue to do the same. So getting into the podcast, perspective. It's my favorite thing to talk about. I'm fascinated by it. I'm intrigued on how we see things from so many different angles and how that viewpoint or mindset can add to or take away from our ability to lead. The goal for this podcast continues to be pretty straightforward, to take a concept or a trait that we associate with leadership and then take a deep dive down that rabbit hole. Our fire service is filled with amazing leaders and each have their own perspectives on leadership. I want to be able to continue to pick their brains and allow them to provide as many tactical, immediately deployable takeaways as possible to the listener. I once again want to thank Fire Engineering and Chief Halton for allowing me to have this platform so that I may do my part in passing it on to my brothers and sisters in the fire service. So let's get into it. The word success, successful, successfully, success, it's often thrown around in the fire service. And like so many of the traits we use when describing or defining leadership, it has many definitions. One person who has made it his goal to explore this space is Captain Jim Moss. Now, through his podcast, the Firefighter Success podcast, and his book titled Firefighter Success, he dives into this topic and through his work has given us all several examples of perspective and what that success looks like is on and off the job. So to give a brief bio about to Jim, so Jim Moss is a captain and paramedic for the Metro West Fire Protection District in St. Louis County, Missouri. 18-year veteran of the fire service, his passions include leadership, training, mentorship, and fitness. Jim is the best-selling author of Firefighter Success, 20 C's to Firefighter Excellence, and the co-author of Firefighter Functional Fitness, an essential guide to the optimal firefighter performance and longevity. He's also the host of the Firefighter Success podcast. Jim is a contributor to multiple fire service publications, including Fire Engineering Magazine, Firefighter Toolbox. He shared his message at FDIC, Firehouse, the ISFSI, the National Volunteer Fire Council, the IChiefs, the International Association of Fire Chiefs, and with departments nationwide. So on a personal note, I've been able to get to know Jim through our connections at Fire Engineering and FDIC, and I've had the honor of being a guest on his podcast recently. And our conversation had me really thinking and rethinking my personal definition of success. So I'm thankful to him for that opportunity for self-reflection. So before I let him do a quick introduction for himself, I just want to make sure I go over three things that I think about when I was kind of preparing for this podcast and thinking about Jim. The first thing I'm thinking of is the fact that data is king. I've heard that statement multiple times, data is king. And in terms of data, so the pandemic hit us hard in a variety of ways. The normal ways in which we communicate were taken and stripped away from us. And we were angry, we were frustrated, we were not happy about that. That closeness, that tribal nature at the firehouse, that family atmosphere that is ingrained in our DNAs as firefighter was challenged at the firehouses, during the runs we respond to, and it bled over to those off-duty activities that work to strengthen those teams in which we take so much pride in and that we belong to. So during this time, many forms of communication helped us drive through. There was a significant rise in the number of podcasts during this time. So while we couldn't attend conferences and training events and seminars and summits the way we used to, and that we were used to doing, we did have the chance to listen to a ton of industry titans through this medium while we continued to navigate through this debacle. So in his podcast alone, he's interviewed over 60 influential members of the fire service. So the scientist mind in me is dying to unpack all the data he's collected from talking to all those folk. So that's the first thing I think of. The second thing is in terms of firefighter functional fitness. I love that people like Jim and Dan Kerrigan and so many others are being just very intentional in tying our fitness to what we do as firefighters. We all know that the data keeps showing that our health, especially related to cardiac health, is a significant cause of morbidity and mortality in our profession. So I'm very happy to see people like Jim and so many others highlight and champion that need to improve firefighter health. And I'd definitely like him to speak on that in today's discussion. The last thing is, and again, it's a personal example, but I think of leading by example when I think of Jim. So I remember, I guess it was a few years ago, I went to FDIC, maybe in 2018, 2019, it was before the pandemic, but I remember getting up really early because I'm an early riser, and I remember going to the convention center just super early, like before everybody. And who do I see? I see Jim and Dan hosting one of their morning exercise sessions with other motivated firefighters from across the country. And I thought, man, that's it. If you're going to say something, if you're going to preach something, you better be practicing what you preach. So that seeing him out there definitely left a mark on me. So that being said, Jim, thank you for being my guest on today's episode of the podcast.
Oh, man, I'm so glad to be here. And we had so much fun when you were on my podcast and you knocked it out of the park when you were on my podcast. And I think, you know, your definition of success and everything that you talked about was perfect. So I think we should just air that for this episode. You don't need me to talk. no, but for real, thank you for having me on. And I'm looking forward to our discussion. And I'm sure we're going to have a good time.
As am I, man. This is going to be good. I'm excited about this. All right, so let's dive in, man. So, you know, you've written a very popular book on firefighter success, as well as you're the host of the great podcast of Firefighter Success. And in each episode, you ask each one of your guests what their definition of success is. So this is exciting for me because I want to know from your perspective now. So from your perspective, from a personal standpoint, and considering all the various definitions and explanations that you've been exposed to regarding that definition of success, I'm dying to know, what is your definition of success?
Oh, wait, you mean I have to define it? I don't just get to ask all my guests, you know, they can define it and I can put it out there. No, but that has been a huge blessing and just so eye-opening to ask everyone else what their definition is and just kind of glean from them, you know, in so many different perspectives, you know, some who have retired, some who are newer to the fire service even. And just like this show is all about perspectives, right? Perspectives on leadership, perspectives and success. And that's what it's really all about. So I'll kind of answer this question, you know, what is success or what does it mean to me? I'll kind of answer it the way I do in my book. And I start off by saying what is not success. You know, I'll kind of define what isn't success to me first and then kind of go into what is success. So speaking from, you know, our cultural perspective, what our culture says is success, I kind of give the opposite of what culture says. Culture, and even in the fire service culture, some may define success as rank or power or your time on the fire service, or it might be, you know, the number of cool calls you've been to, the number of fires you've been to, how much experience you have, how much money you earn in a year. So those are what I would say do not define my success, and they really shouldn't define anyone else's success. What I would say, what success really means to me, or what defines success means to me, you know, I wrote a 20 chapter book on it, so I'll try and condense it down. But I would say, first of all, is striving for excellence in everything you do. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to achieve excellence, but striving towards excellence in everything you do. The second thing I would say is that not only striving to achieve your potential, but pushing your potential further than it was before. I think we all think, you know, we're going to achieve a certain rank and then we're okay, we're good with that. Or we're going to have so many fires under our belt and we think that that's enough. But, you know, successful firefighters are always looking to push themselves further and further and further than they thought they could ever go. I also want to say that successful firefighters, or success to me, is someone who is making sure other firefighters are successful. And so I start the book with being coachable, which is incredibly important to me, but also being that coach. That's how I end the book, is being that mentor, being that coach that coaches other firefighters on how to be successful. So to me, if you're being successful, you're passing it on to others around you, and you're doing that with humility. You're not saying, hey, look at me, I know it all, and look what I've achieved. You're just finding ways to make others better as much as possible. And then another thing I would say about success is that at the end of your career, you know, whether paid, on call, volunteer, it doesn't matter. At the end of your career, you will leave your career with saying that you gave it your all, right? That you didn't leave anything behind. And that goes with saying the same for your family. Did you balance that family time too? Did you focus on your family? Did you give your family your all as well? So when you retire, you're satisfied with the amount of effort and what you achieved both in the fire service and also at home. So, you know, I could talk a lot about, you know, and give more definitions of success, but I don't want to, you know, take up too much time.
Well, and there's a reason we try to like start or at least strive for like an hour or give or take, because right. Just right here, the beginning of this conversation, you know, we could talk about this all day. We could be here for the entire day just shooting the breeze on this and just diving ridiculously deep. So I'm glad we have a tentative time to cut it off, because there's so much to unpack with everything you've said. And I think the key words just stuck out to me right there with the striving for excellence, you know, not the goal, not the end point, but the striving, the journey. That's so important to remember. It's not about sometimes the end, but that everything you learn in between that's powerful. And then obviously making it about others. You know, we always hear this is not about us, it's about them. It's about them. And that's so impactful. The people we work with, are they succeeding? Because, you know, I think we're really good at doing things for ourselves. We're good at taking classes, we're good at self-promotion, we're good at self-development, but it is about them. It's like, how are we developing our team? How are we developing our others and all that? And then you said, you know, in terms of family, we've talked about that before, and the importance of not forgetting that, hey, at the end of the day, when you go home, whatever version of the fire service it looks like for you, you go home to your family, no matter what that looks like. They're your rock, they're the people you go to. So the importance of making sure, whether you call it balance, whether you call it ecosystem, whatever, you got to be thinking about that. You got to be intentional about making sure that family's still in your forefront. So yeah, that's a great way to start off this conversation, man. So let me dive a little bit deeper to success. And, you know, Chief Halton said it best about FDIC when he was talking to us a few weeks ago. He was like, you know, FDIC is a tactics-driven conference, tactics-driven. So let's talk about tactical tips. Let's talk about that for a second. So could you provide some, you know, from all your, from the book and from all your interactions, especially in the podcast, In terms of, are there nuggets that stood out from you during your interviews? Are there any nuggets or tactical takeaways that you just stood out to you and that maybe that you incorporated into your own life, whether on the job or personal?
Yeah. And one of the biggest ones that I took away from an interview with Chief Forrest Reeder, who we both know and love, he said, you know, I asked him, what is one of the biggest qualities that you see or you look for as a chief in your future officers and your current officers or prospective employees, prospective firefighters that you're going to hire? And he said, just be engaged. You know, be there and be engaged and be intentional and make sure that when you're at work, when you're on the job, you are engaged. So that can be at any level. So that as a new probie firefighter, you are engaged with all the new skills, all the different, you know, SOGs that you're learning, all the different procedures, you are engaged. The same goes for when you're an engineer, driver, chauffeur, be engaged. You know, check out that truck and look at every detail on that truck when you show up in the morning. Make sure the pump's working right? Make sure all the cross lays or all your hose lines, all the tools are put on the truck correctly, everything's working, and just be engaged when you show up for work in the morning. Same goes for as an officer. You know, what's probably one of the most important things we can do as a fire officer is be engaged with your people, be engaged and build those relationships, you know, be engaged with the role, the position that you have, meaning, you know, make sure that you have an agenda set forth for your 24 or 48 or however long you might be on shift, and make sure that you are, you know, being engaged in your training, you know, you're scheduling training every shift, that you are scheduling, you know, maybe a crew workout or making sure everybody works out as well. So all those different things for an officer, being engaged with your people, being engaged with what you're going to do for the shift and the agenda is incredibly important. And the same could be said for at every level above that, you know, battalion chief, shift chief, assistant chief, chief, you know, be engaged with your people and what you're doing. So I really took that from Forrest Reeder, you know, just like, yes, that is what we need to do at every level. Be engaged. And, you know, Captain Mark Von Oppen, you know, he says it with his big four, you know, give that all out effort, right? So making sure that we are all in, all out effort all the time.
Those are powerful nuggets, man, especially some powerful names right there in terms of the Forrest and then and Mark. You know, when you said be engaged, my thought and the way you described it, my thoughts went to things like attention to detail. The way you're describing right there.
Yep.
Also the idea of being present, you know, being there, being present in the moment and taking an opportunity to just soak it all in.
Yep.
You mentioned relationships. I mean, how it's so important. We can go on a whole tangent with relationships and the opportunities you have at whatever level you're at to engage with people every day to develop and enhance and strengthen those bonds we have. And I think that, you know, you started off the conversation with what wasn't success. So in terms of being engaged, you know, not just mailing it in,
right?
Not just occupying a seat for the day or a shift, or not just taking on a position to take on a position, but actually engaging and just being there and doing the best you can with it. So that's a lot to, that's a lot.
Lots to digest. Yeah,
it is, man. But that's why we do this, right? I mean, the conversations and it's just, it's interesting that you were able to glean probably a zillion more things that you probably incorporated, whether you know it or not, from all those conversations you've had and interactions you've had. But those are some powerful ones. So let's kind of change the directory here. So firefighter functional fitness. I know that you're definitely in that scope, that scene, that area. I know you and Dan published that book back in 2016. And I know that my area, in my neck of the woods in South Florida, I see a very positive growth in the FISBAT, the fitness area of our careers. I mean, I see crews religiously working out at the same time every day, whether in gear or outside or not in gear or in or out of the gyms. I see crews getting together to run marathons, to tackle endurance races, train to compete in the Firefighter Combat Challenge, compete on our competition teams, RIT competition teams. I went to the station yesterday, actually. I stopped by one of my firehouses about 3:30 yesterday, and it was good timing because I talked to the crew, but at 4 o'clock, that was their time. They all came out to the bay, and they all started jumping into a circuit. And it was so wonderful to see not only them engage in functional fitness, but do it as a team, do it as a group. And I see that everywhere in my fire department. My fire department's impressive when it comes to that attention to detail when it comes to firefighter fitness. So I guess what I want to ask you, since you're in this area now, from your perspective, what are the trends you are seeing? And I guess the question is, are we becoming more functionally fit? What do you see out there?
Yeah, so I'll start answering this question by saying, you know, 20 years ago at my own fire department, if you were working out, you were made fun of, right? And so, and that probably goes for a lot of different fire departments. And now we are one of the most progressive departments out there when it comes to fitness and wellness and health in general. And obviously that didn't happen overnight. There were a lot of things that came into play, a lot of champions, both formal and informal within our fire department, that took the reins and said, we're going to change this, right? Because, I mean, one of the biggest reasons that Dan and I wrote Firefighter Functional Fitness is because decade after decade after decade, we're seeing that, you know, right around 55 to 60% of line of duty deaths are attributed to cardiac factors, whether that's stroke or heart attack or overexertion, whatever it is, we're dealing that with that decade after decade. So, you know, that's a big wake up call for a lot of us. And, you know, within my own fire department, we took some small steps and some big steps over the last 20 years to get where we have gotten. So one of the things that I think is been huge for firefighters, you know, we have new candidate physical agility testing. Some might call it work performance assessments. What you can call it, whatever you want, a job performance assessment. So basically a physical agility test to where you're doing job-related tasks in your turnout gear. And no, we're not talking about, you know, doing 100 burpees in 5 minutes in your turnout gear. No, we're talking about, you know, stretching attack lines, whether dry or charged, stretching supply lines, making a hydrant, climbing up a ladder, carrying a ladder, just simple job tasks that we do according to NFPA 1001, right? So things that we do and putting them all together in a 5 to 10 station work performance or physical agility assessment and doing that annually. And we all know new candidates at the beginning might have to do the CPAT, right? Or they might have to do something similar to that to get hired on. But for probably 95% of fire departments out there, there's nothing for incumbent firefighters, year after year to have that level of accountability. And so what I'm seeing a trend is that more fire departments are doing these physical agility assessments annually for their firefighters to have that level of accountability. And it's not necessarily just for fitness. It's also for, can you do the job, right? Yes, fitness is a part of our job. Yes, fitness is required to do all those functions efficiently and effectively and safely. But are you also able to have the cardio? Are you able to have the agility, the mobility to do all those things? So that's one of the things I'm really seeing a lot more of within fire departments to not only have that for new candidates, but have it for the returning firefighters, you know, year after year. And I think that's great. We need that level of accountability, just like an engineer or driver chauffeur would have like annual skills testing on drafting, pumping, you know, just doing different things like that. We need that for all firefighters who are going to, you know, be in those IDLH environments, you know, with their turnout gear on, breathing off their air pack. We need that level of accountability because we all know that 30-year firefighter who's been able to coast by, maybe now that they've been at the slower station for the last 10 to 15 years, right? And overweight, not skilled at their job anymore. And not only talking about out of shape, but we're talking about, you know, it takes them over a minute to mask up. You know, like those types of things are unacceptable, right? When we should be striving towards, again, striving towards excellence in everything we do, whether it's our fitness or it's our job related skills, we need to make sure that we're performing at the highest level.
So you brought up a nerve. You hit a nerve with me.
Good.
And, you know, this is, so years ago when I was the training chief for my organization, one of the first things I did is I brought back PT as part of our recruit class. And I just remember the struggle I had to go through to bring back PT. It was frowned upon to a certain extent. And now it's the norm. It is absolutely the norm. It is absolutely expected. And like you said, it's unacceptable not to.
Right.
And I remember we just onboarded a new class this last week, 25 more firefighters. And the first day of class, the instructors were giving them their two cents, introducing themselves and whatnot. And in addition to like the PT and the con, and by the way, our first year is amazing. We have 10 weeks of amazing training, very difficult, very physically challenging. And then you pack that on with the medical side, for the paramedic side of it. That first year is nothing short of just an internship slash just life-changing event with all the stuff we do. But one of the comments one of the instructors made, and we've said it for years, we preach it, is we won't have you do anything that we will not do ourselves.
Yes.
So when it comes to the PT aspect, we're not just following them around in the golf cart. They're out there doing it. Whatever they are doing, the instructors are doing the exact same thing.
Yep.
And it's impressive to watch that, because when we talk about modeling behaviors and leading from the front, they're not asking you to do anything that they're not doing.
And having the candidates to buy in, right?
100%. Yeah, man. And it's nice to see. Well, it's nice to, in general, that we see both in your neck of the woods, my neck of the woods, and from other people I talk to, that there's this trend going forward in that physical fitness aspect, whether it's recruit training, on the job training. We too, in our department, have now an annual wellness. We bring in different things that measure our, whether it's, and I won't mention the companies, but, just assessments, wellness assessments, blood work, all that kind of jazz. Yeah. But now it's part of our wellness program.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that things like this are out there and things are increasing. And, from my perspective now, an assistant chief, I'm a lot less tactical and a lot more supportive these days.
Yeah.
And someone was asking me about that role and the challenges. And, I struggle because I don't get to go out there as much with the crews as I did before. But my job now is supportive. EMS and training is my gig. So people, I make sure people understand, why do I support the ridiculous amount of training and why do I support the physical aspect? Because we know what's required on day one.
Yep.
We know what's required of them once they hit the field. And like use the word unacceptable. Yep. It is unacceptable. The people that we're responding to out there, citizens, visitors, residents, whatever, it's unacceptable to give them anything less than the best.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you are seeing the same trends as I am. And I think that guys like you and me and a host of other people are leading the charge or trying to do our best to lead by example,
And when you talk about citizens real quick, I've had, just family parties, parties with friends over where, they know I'm a firefighter and they like to ask about the job because it's something that they're not familiar with. But one of the questions I got one time, because they knew I'm in the fitness, right? I promote it. But one of the questions I got once was, hey, and it was asked a little tongue in cheek. It was like, hey, are there annual physical fitness tests for firefighters? And I was like, kind of probing them. What do you mean? Ask me, why do you ask that? They're like, well, sometimes we, at the store, we see some firefighters that are just gross, like they are obese. And so our citizens are thinking about this, right? Our citizens see us. And if you're overweight, if you're obese as a firefighter, we're not putting you down. Everybody's in a work in progress, right? But everybody should know that our citizens are looking at us and that our citizens have expectations of how we are to perform, right? They see what we look like. They see how we perform on scenes. And we all know nowadays, everyone has a cell phone. Everyone records. If it's something interesting, they're going to be recording it, right? And so they're watching us and they're watching what we look like and how we perform. And so we need to make sure that, like I said before, whether you're the new guy or gal or you've been on the job for 30 years, you are owning your position and you are living up to the job title of firefighter. Right. And so making sure, and that doesn't mean you have to be perfect with your weight or your performance or your skills or anything, but you're striving towards, that perfection, you're striving towards that excellence. So I just want to make sure I said that about our citizens, because they definitely have expectations of what we do and what we look like.
And you mentioned some of those firefighters that are struggling, let's say with weight or inactivity. One of the other things I'm seeing, especially in my department, is that I've known several, a lot of our members who have at one point been very physically unfit. It was obvious. Mm-hmm. And so many of them have, just in the last few years, I'm watching them, they're losing weight, they're at their their cruise exercising, and they've just, they're just it, seeing that is just so inspiring.
Oh,
and it's just, and I wonder sometimes, you know, how, yes, there's personal accountability, but then I wonder how much the culture and the tribal nature of what we do and the trends we're seeing are positively affecting that. And I know it is, but it's wonderful to see that, you know? So,
you know, and nothing, honestly, you know, nothing inspires me more. You know, some people would say, oh, I'm impressed by that guy who did so many burpees in under 5 minutes, or someone who's deadlifts this much weight or bench presses this much weight or does all this or that. You know what impresses me and motivates me, honestly, are those who are out of shape, who are trying their best to take, they've taken ownership of their fitness. They know they've let themselves, you know, slack over the years, but now they're taking ownership of their fitness, and nothing really inspires me more to be like, yeah, let's go. And it makes you want to take better care of yourself too.
Yep. 100%, man. Well, good. I'm glad we had that conversation, because it's something that was on my mind. I'm glad that, especially from your perspective, seeing so many people out there having those discussions, giving those classes, it's nice to see that it's a growing trend, let's say. And that's nice. Yeah. That's very inspiring. So let's keep diving down the rabbit hole here. Okay, so, you know, and you've asked this on your podcast too, and, you know, this is a discussion on leadership in terms of traits and whatnot. So from your perspective, and again, you've had a lot of conversations, you've had a lot of classes. So I'm going to throw it back to you. And again, you know, in terms of leadership, what are some of the greatest traits of a leader from your angle?
Yeah. So Firefighter Success, the book, is all about personal leadership, really. I mean, it is about leading yourself to the best of your own abilities. So if you choose to lead others, you can do that. But really, if you are leading yourself and you're doing it to the best of your abilities, you're going to be successful. And so I start the book with chapter one is being coachable. And the foundation of being coachable or being a great leader, in my opinion, is humility. 100% is that has to be your foundation. That has to be the base point for every single thing else tied to your leadership and tied to your success. And why I say that is if you are humble and you have humility, first of all, you're going to be teachable. You're going to be coachable. And if you are going to be a great leader, you need to learn from other great leaders, right? You need to say, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know everything, right? But I want to learn everything I can to be the greatest leader possible. So if you are ego-driven, if you have a ton of pride and you're just trying to rest on your laurels or your experience or whatever it is, you're not going to be successful as a leader. You know, we all know those guys who, you know, maybe they've been on the job for 20 years and have great skills, experience, knowledge, but they're a terrible leader once they promote because they don't have people skills. They're not humble. They think they know everything. No one's going to tell them how to do anything, right? They're not concerned about the team aspect of the crew or the job. And so they're unsuccessful as a leader. And so making sure that with humility as our foundation, that's going to be the launching point for every single thing else tied to our success. So that's where we have to start as you know, whether we're probie firefighters or we're new officers or anything. If you are humble, you're going to be coachable, you're going to be teachable, and you can go forward and be successful from there.
I like that you use the term launching point. I think that is powerful in terms of that being the base, that being the starting point, that being the
that's ground zero right there.
Yeah. And when we think about I've had a lot of conversations, or I'm starting to have more conversations with these leaders in our field, and that's one of the first things I notice is that when we go to these conferences together and we go to these events, whether it's local or out there, you know, the larger ones, it seems like everybody you ask or talk to, they're more than willing to just bend over backwards to give you information, talk to you. Here's my email. Here's my phone number. Here's text me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful to have that open door to talk shop, to bounce something off of, whatever that is, tactics, leadership, whatever it is. And I think that when we think about all those people, I think about all the people that have been in your podcast, for example, and I'm running the names in my mind, and I've had talks with several of them, and that's what I've just gathered. And so, but when you say it in terms of that's where it starts from. I think you're absolutely right, because that ability to be humble opens the door for people to ask questions, to realize they're human. They're human, just like me. And it opens the door for conversations and growth and just, you're right, man. That's a wonderful way to start it. It's poignant that you use that based on the experience you've had so far. That sticks out the most in your mind, that aspect of being humble and have that humility, which leads to being coachable and teachable and such. So this is one of my more favorite questions. It's become my favorite question. So what are your concerns in the fire service? Like, what keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? I think a lot of it is, honestly, are we doing too much? Are we spreading ourselves too thin with all of the different sub-disciplines that we are trying to take on? And yes, we carry the term of firefighter, right? That is our base title. But as I mentioned in my book, I mean, there can be 20 plus sub-disciplines that we can be a part of, right? And that can be within our own fire department. My fire department does a lot of stuff. And I think it really comes back to knowing that the basics are our foundation and mastering the basics. And that goes for anything, whether it's firefighting or rope rescue, or it could be, dive rescue or whatever it is going back to mastering the basics and trying not to jump off into 10 steps down from now, or, you know, we always talk about another tool for the toolbox, right? Well, let's kind of know what the baseline and foundational tools are in the toolbox before we keep on adding too many tools in, right? Because we're not going to master everything. We're going to be jacks of all trades. And some of us, if we're fortunate enough to work in a fire department to where we're only assigned to, a rescue squad, we're only assigned to a truck or only assigned to an engine, we can really spend more time mastering those skills. But just speaking from my own perspective is that, you know, my fire department, we do a lot of different things and we're not going to be able to master all of them, which is unfortunate. There's just not enough hours in the day, but we need to make sure that we're focusing on training on the basics and mastering the basics before we launch down into, you know, another tool in the toolbox or some, you know, off the wall scenario that has 0.00001% chance of happening. So that's kind of, you know, I don't know if it keeps me up at night. That's something that I think about constantly within the fire service, is making sure we're not spreading ourselves too thin when it comes to all the different things we're getting into or we're already into when it comes to disciplines and service delivery.
It's, you know, again, you're hitting nerves here. well, because of my role right now as the assistant chief over training and EMS. So training is the people that are, is the platform, it's the angle, it's the people that are getting out there trying to train our own on everything that we do. And in terms of what we do today is not what we did 20 years ago. So you're 100% right. In terms, when you're talking about that, terms like all hazards response came up to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we respond to everything, whether it's a... Yeah. Third alarm fire, an active shooter, or somebody had a bad dream. We're going.
Yeah.
You know, when aliens land tomorrow, we're going to be there first on scene. Engine 46 arrival. I got a saucer on the ground. A green man is waving me down. I'll advise. But, you know, it's and that's the challenge we all face in terms of the training and what we're doing. Like, how do we possibly prepare ourselves for all that's expected of us?
Yeah. And also run calls, right? I mean, we need to train and do our PR. We need to do our reports. We need to, you know, there's so much that we need to do, whether we're firefighters or new firefighters, fire officers or new firefighters. There's so much we need to learn, so much we need to do, and there aren't enough hours in the day. So where, again, we said this at the beginning of the podcast, balance. It comes back to balance, and how are we going to manage that balance and provide optimal service delivery for our citizens?
I think you said it best, though. It's about mastering the basics. What I think about when you said that is, well, first of all, you said like another tool in the toolbox. And you hear these comments, they're like, you know, well, outside the box thinking. Well, make sure you know the box first. Make sure you know the box and everything in there first.
Yeah.
Then you can think outside the box. But you got to know the basics. You got to know the box and what's inside the box and the tools in the box. But what you got me thinking of was, like, you know, my department, we'd run a lot of A lot of bread and butter fires, a lot of single story, single family, concrete block and stucco structures. That's our bread and butter. We run those quite frequently. And because we run on those so much, because we train on that so much, even though we're not training on high rises every day, which we are seeing more and more of, we're not training on active shooters every single day, that baseline of running those fires, those baselines of running those extrication, those baselines of running cardiac arrests, whatever they are, they give you the basics of establishing command, working with a team, and just that the reps are there. So that when you have the larger incidents, at least you have a baseline to start with. Starting the incident command structure, starting telling people what they need to do, following the SOPs, giving people tasks and assignments, the strategies of things. So that comes with experience, that comes with training. So it at least provides somewhat of a baseline to prepare us for whatever else is out there. Right. But as you're talking, I'm thinking, oh man, he's talking about my day-to-day, man. Oh my gosh. Because I think about this. This
you
is
feel
what
triggered?
Keeps me up at night. This is what keeps me up at night. You know, how do I work with my two teams and support them into training and providing EMS to all that we do? And it keeps growing every day. The fact that, are we doing too much, you know, and I don't see it ever decreasing. We're constantly doing more and more. But I'm glad you said that, because it goes back to the basics. And no matter what, like even watching my rookies do drills, they're getting rep after rep after rep after rep. And just ridiculous amounts of reps, because we want them to be good at the basics. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure those basics are right. And that'll lead you to be better at things that come down the pike that may challenge you. At least your basics are strong. So I'm glad you went there. So you know, we're coming up to the end, I guess, of the time here. And we've definitely talked about a lot of things. But, you know, I'm enjoying doing this. I'm enjoying having the conversations. And I definitely appreciate what we've talked about so far. And I think, like I said before, we can definitely go on for hours and hours on this. And I would love to. But let me ask you this. In terms of who's out there today, like the firefighters out there today, for future podcasts, you know, what do you think that firefighters want to hear related to leadership? What are the items out there that are ringing in their ears that they need more on, that they want to hear more about?
You know, I think it comes back to keep it simple and the basics. We just talked about the basics, mm-hmm. but I think keep it simple and the basics. And I think when we focus on that, when it's, you're talking about aspiring leaders and aspiring company officers or chief officers, is keep it simple and keep it in digestible nuggets and with application. That's the big thing, is with application, right? So, you know, I talked about, you know, humility is the foundation of all great leaders, right? Well, how are we going to apply that? What are the action steps that we're going to take? And that's why I included action steps at the end of each chapter in my book. Yeah. Is okay, let's take a self-assessment. Where do I need to be a little bit more humble, right? You know, each individual should ask themselves that. Where do I need to develop myself more? With my people skills? Is it with my training? Is it with, you know, my writing skills, my speaking skills, if I'm wanting to be a leader? Because yes, those are important. Future leaders out there, you need to be able to do those things. So really taking that self-assessment and that inventory of knowing where you're at and how you can grow, that's huge. But for future things, when we talk about leadership, is just keep it simple. And that's what I try and do in my podcast, is ask simple questions and just let the great knowledge of those guests that come on and just say, hey, what's, you know, like you said, what's the most important thing that leaders need to know right now? Or if you want to be a great leader, what is the best thing that you can be working on right now? And then I think another thing when it comes to leadership is asking great leaders from their experience, what are the biggest mistakes they've made and what they've learned from those mistakes? Because if we can learn from other people's mistakes, that's huge, right? We don't have to make that same mistake for ourselves, even though we might do it anyway. But making sure that we're just learning from their mistakes. You know, one of my favorite questions when I ask people who have retired from the fire service, I ask them, if you could do it all over again, what would you do differently? And some of the responses that I get, you know, some guys even say, I would have spent more time with my family. You know, that has, you know, nothing to do with developing themselves as firefighters or chief officers or whatever. But they said if I would have focused on that more, it would have made me a better firefighter. It would have made me a better leader, a better chief officer for my crew at work, my people at work. So some of the responses like that, you know, just kind of blow you away. Like, yeah, remember what's most important and work on those things. But those are the different things I would say as, you know, future leaders or current leaders who are looking to better themselves and be successful. Is, you know, definitely starts with humility, keep it simple, focus on the basics of leadership, and just really take that self-assessments, that inventory of yourself, of where you need to grow, and then put stuff into action, right? Take those action steps and apply. Don't just write a book about leadership and just say, okay, this is great, this is theory. No, let's actually, you know, read a book, put it into action. Let's listen to a podcast and actually say, okay, what is maybe three things I learned from that, and how am I going to apply those things in my own life?
Yeah, yeah. So it's funny you mentioned asking the question about what you learned. One thing our department started doing just recently was really taking seriously the concept of exit interviews, sitting down with those people that have given 25, 30, 32 years of blood, sweat, and tears to our organization and saying, and not only those, but the ones that have been, let's say, for 6 months and they decided to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
those might be just as important, especially today, right? And figuring out, well, what's going on? Why are you leaving? What did you not see, or what did we not see?
Yeah.
But just being able to sit down and then garner that knowledge from those people that have, especially the ones that have been there for a while, and say, give me something. That's gold. That is absolute gold.
That is amazing, because where does that come from? They want to learn from that person's experience, whether they've been on the job for 6 months or for 32 years, like you said. What does that come back to? That comes back to your department being humble and wanting to learn and how they can improve, right? And so so many fire departments are like, I don't care what they have to say. We're going to keep doing it this way. We're not going to change anything, right? Well, that's 100%. The prideful, egotistical, you know, mindset. Yep. But, you know, with your fire department, that's amazing. Conducting those exit interviews and saying, okay, what can we learn from this? What could we do better next time, you know, for the next 30 years of this new probie firefighter's career. I love it.
You said it perfectly. Yeah. It also had me thinking about just the, when you said keeping it simple and asking simple questions, and just to the people that are listening to this, you know, the conversations, the ability to converse and have those deep, meaningful, regular conversations with people. Just when, before I did your podcast, the fact that I knew you were going to ask, what's my definition of success? I got to tell you, just knowing I was going to be asked that got me down a long path of self-discovery. I mean, I started thinking, what is my definition of success? Mm-hmm. What does that look like personally? What does it look like in the job? What is that? And just from that simple question, how far it took me down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And how many of those opportunities do we have every day talking to our people where those simple questions, everything from, like, you know, how do you define success, to what's your definition of leadership, to what's your perspective on this, to, hey, is everything okay? How are you doing?
Yeah.
That right there can be the jumping off point from so much more in terms of conversation and relationships, like you mentioned before.
Yeah. And it's about having these conversations, you know, whether it's recorded like this or at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee. It's about having those conversations and learning from each other and investing in each other. And like Chief Forrest Reeder said, being engaged, right? Mm. Being engaged with the people around us.
Yeah. So I definitely, and speaking to the people out there that are listening to this, the importance of not only everything we just talked about, but just that those simple conversations, keeping it simple, but those simple conversations, there's so many opportunities out there for things like this.
Right.
Okay. Well, so we're at the end of the, of almost, I don't even know, somewhere around an hour, I guess, but I kind of lose track when we get into the content here. But I think that, you know, I'm definitely one for quality, not quantity. So I think that just going through the notes I made, there's a lot to, again, unpack here. And I'm so glad that we had this discussion in terms of what success looks like. And you mentioned striving for excellence. You mentioned that the nuggets you've gotten in terms of being engaged, and we talked about attention to detail and being present and developing those relationships. I like that you gave the perspective of not only defining success, but then saying what is not success. That right there is something I'm walking away from. Like, I'm looking for a definition, the definition of what it is, but what is it not? This is important. I'm glad I'm walking away with that today. I also am glad we talked about the fact that we're seeing positive trends in the way we conduct our fitness, and the fact that, you know, functional firefighter fitness, you know, being able to do the job, not only for the job itself, but for ourselves and our people we serve and for our families. And so that we can enjoy our retirements long in after we retire from the job or walk away from the job. So I'm glad we talked about that. That was something I was really looking forward to talking with you about. And I'm glad you dove in deep with the humility aspect. I'm glad we spent some time on that, because that is definitely one of those things where, you know, whether you teach or whether I'm presenting, it always comes up. It always is one of those things that's on the forefront of people's mind, either the aspect of humility or the lack thereof, and the frustration when that is not there, and the missed opportunities when we have leaders that aren't humble.
Right.
That's the frustration. A lot of it comes out of missed opportunities for a variety of reasons. And I'm glad we talked about, you know, what your concerns were, because that's always my favorite questions. And you're right. You hit multiple nerves today in terms of, are we doing too much and what is too much? You know, what is expected out there of us? What are we providing? What are we good at? What everything from geography determined tactics and strategies to what the citizens are asking for. That's a lot to unpack there, too. But you're right. That's something that I know I have to battle with today in terms of, am I doing my best to get the personnel on the trucks and more trucks and training hours and all that jazz. So, but yeah, man, this has been a great conversation, man. I knew this was going to be great again, and I'm happy that we're reconnecting this way. And
yeah,
it's just wonderful to have that conversation, man. Any final words of wisdom or anything as we wrap this up?
I would just say, you know, take it day by day and don't take it for granted, you know, whether that's being a firefighter or being with your family, you know, just take it day by day, don't take it for granted and be humble, right? If I can leave that nugget again.
All right. So, I'll ask, but I mean, at this point, if someone doesn't know how to get in touch with you, I think they're living under a rock. But if someone was trying to get in touch with you, what's that best way to do that?
Yeah. So, you can go to firefightersuccessbook.com. You can also go to firefighterfunctionalfitness.com. You can get both the books there. You can check out my podcast that you can go through that firefightersuccessbook.com. Or you can go to firefightersuccesspodcast.com. It's on all the main, you know, Apple and Google and all those different, you know, Spotify, all those different podcasting outlets. I got a lot of free PDF downloadable resources at my websites. Whether you want to, you know, develop yourself with your fitness or you want to develop yourself with your personal leadership, all those different resources are out there. And yeah, reach out to me. You know, I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can just, you know, put in the search bar firefighter success or firefighter functional fitness. I'm sure you'll find it. But no, Steve, thanks. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a great time, and let's do it again soon.
100%, man. This has been great. All right, so we're wrapping up here. Once again, I just want to make sure I'm very intentional about saying thank you to all the listeners out there. You have a ton of choices of wonderful podcasts and wonderful means of communications and listening to all those people out there, the industry leaders in our fields and in a variety of platforms. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this one. Thank you for your time, because once you use up your time, you never get it back. So the fact that you're spending your time listening to these conversations is definitely appreciated. And I know that we today definitely have not wasted anybody's time. So once again, we'll see you next month. We'll have this on a monthly basis through Fire Engineering. And this has been a wonderful conversation, Jim. It was great. And thank you for all the listeners out there. Reach out to us anytime and have a wonderful day, guys.